Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio. I'm Doug. I'm here in studio with Amy today, and we're going to talk a little bit about bugging out. It's a little different prospect than what you're going to hear on most radio shows. I think even most prepping shows tend to focus more on products or different, you know, things that they have that there are on their websites or things that they're promoting or reviews of different things that they can do. I think that it's better to take a step back every once in a while and think about the bigger picture on why are we prepping, what are we doing, and what are going to be the consequences of a major disaster. I know we tend to focus in this show on our previous episodes about, you know, certain types of events and how they'll impact you. We talk about hurricanes, we've talked about super volcanoes, we've talked about, you know, things like pandemic flus and the medical side of things. That was last week. We had Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy on talking about how to be prepared medically, but we tend to be more event oriented, and this is something that is more of a strategy. The idea of whether you stay in your home or whether you decide to leave, you know, there are lots of different events that can trigger this decision. You know, if you have a pandemic, if you have a toxic gas or a chemical attack, if you had a nuclear event, those are things that are going to make bugging in or staying in your present location simply untenable, and you're going to have to leave. Then there are sort of events where you have, you know, a famine or there's rioting or, you know, civil unrest. Those may make certain environments less, you know, tenable to stay in. If you lived in a downtown apartment and there was, you know, no more food coming into a metropolitan area, most people's inclination would be to leave the area. If there was mass rioting, it might be a good idea to stay put for a short period of time, or it might be a good idea to flee to get away from where the civil unrest is. And so there's lots of things that go into this decision. But once the decision is made, then you're faced with a whole new plethora of problems, right, Amy?
Yes. And, you know, and like you're saying, it really does depend on, you know, obviously, if my house were on fire during a riot or something, I'm heading out. If it's flooded and underwater, you know, I can't stay. But, you know, there are different ways to bug in. There are different ways to bug out. You know, there's a couple of scenarios where, you know, if there were something that did possibly take out the power grid, you know, it's always kind of my go-to scenario, I guess. But, you know, if the traffic lights weren't working and everything was shut down in gridlock, which we, you know, recently...
Have seen.
Yes, I sat in it this past winter, you know, during our whole ice storm. But yeah, I mean, you know, sitting in gridlock, you're not going anywhere. So, you know, that might not be an option. So
and there is no worse feeling than sitting somewhere and feeling like you're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do it every day, as a matter of fact, on the way into work. I just sit there and la la la.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why they, you know, have great people like us on the radio to entertain the masses.
And educate. I mean, the
yes.
entertainment value may be high, particularly with us, but I think the educational value is really where we excel, because people, you know, you hear about these sort of things and you get overwhelmed when you go on the internet and start to Google, because everyone has their own take on it, and there's 30 million different videos. I was trying to watch some reviews on a knife yesterday. I'm trying to find a good old-fashioned, usable, historic-looking knife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came across a knife. It's called the Condor Hudson Bay knife, which coincidentally TruPrep happens to carry and have in stock.
What do you know?
Which was why I was kind of thinking about picking one up, because they actually have them available in their Marietta location. So I went to find a couple of reviews, and, you know, there are people using it like an axe. I'm like, do I really want to do that? That's kind of odd. And then there was this one guy who had this fantastic review on YouTube, which involves mainly with him walking through the woods carrying the knife with some spooky music as he goes through the snowy woods with the knife on his back.
Nice.
And it takes about 3 minutes before he actually says anything about the knife.
Okay.
And the first thing he says is, I'm really grateful that so-and-so gave me this knife to review. That's really awesome, and I really appreciate it. And I'm like, okay, so I'm 4 minutes into this video, and all I've got is spooky music, snowy woods, and a thank you for giving me free stuff. Now, this is why I come to find things on YouTube. And I think that a lot of prepping stuff... on YouTube is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get free things because they have so many followers. Mm-hmm. They do some kind of review on it. Now, when you're given the item to keep for free, what are you going to say bad about it?
Mm, good point. Yeah.
You know, it's there. It's just kind of like, you know, gun magazines.
Yeah. Thanks for the crap.
you get a free given. And if you say nasty things about it, then you're never going to get another one again.
Right.
Now, if you're making the, you know, survival super tablet vitamin pack that no one's ever heard of and knew that's all you make, giving a negative review may not hurt you. But let's say that, you know, it was, I don't know, Propure or Berkey or Eno Hammocks that sent you the thing. And then you think, you know, if I don't review this well, they may never give me anything again. And it plays into unscrupulous reviewers. And what is the peer review of YouTube? Nothing.
Right.
There's no way that you know whether these people have any clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the source really does make a difference.
And so I think that's what we give people, that you can't just find out there at random. I mean, there was a time when, you know, you'd have a book and you could say that, you know, you found this information in this book and it was published, therefore it was halfway decent. But even that doesn't hold true anymore. I mean, you can self-publish a book and have it put out through, you know, one of these self-published things, actually have a nice hardcover that's, you know, or a paperback that's got good graphics on the front and a nice dust cover and the whole nine yards, and you don't know. I mean, this is just somebody who typed it up in their basement and then paid to have it printed, and here you are buying it, and you don't know if they know anything about what they're talking about. So the goal is, you've got to research the authors then and come up whether they're, you know, actually, you know, qualified in their field. And I think that that's one thing that we have here on the radio that isn't just, I mean, it's just not fly by night. You've got to have some knowledge about what you're doing in order to have a listening base and an audience in a major metropolitan area like Atlanta to be able to give them information, really good, trustworthy information. And that's something that we and our researchers excel at, to bring this kind of quality information to people so that they can make value judgments, particularly on topics like bugging out.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, Doug. You know, you and I really do live this every day. Then one of the things I wanted to kind of bring to the table a little bit today is, you know, we're talking a little bit about bugging out. One of them is a bug out bag.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call mine my get home bag, because I think if I have to walk to my destination, I'm probably in trouble.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, we started off talking about, well, what if you can't stay at your home? So, you know, your bag, you call it a get home bag, because what you're talking about really is limited duration of use. You want your bag to be able to sustain you for a limited duration to get you to a certain point, whether that's home, whether that's a relative's house. But the idea here is that your bag is not designed to turn you into Robin Hood,
where you
go off to Sherwood Forest with a band of merry men and live in the woods, happy and you know, robbing from the carriages that go by and sustaining yourselves, and everyone is, you know.
Yeah, that's not the plan.
No larks, no fun, no singing friars.
No.
We're going to have a definite place that we've got to get to. And that's no matter where you're, when you're bugging out, and I hate that term. I think of it.
Yeah, where did that originate from? Is it a military term?
No.
Where did it originate from?
I have no idea who coined the phrase bugging out.
We need to find out. I thought it was military.
What it really comes down to is an evacuation.
Yes.
And people, when you say bugging out, they get this kind of romantic idea that they're going to grab this, you know, this ultimate bag and head off on their march and survive and thrive and eat, you know, grubs and be like Bear Grylls in the wilderness. The truth is that you're becoming a refugee. You're fleeing your place of safety, your established home, all of your, you know, goods that you can't bring with you, and you can't bring everything.
No, no.
No matter how big your SUV and trailer is, you still won't have time to load everything on it, and the amount of gas it would take to move a long distance, and if you have gridlock roads, so that's not an option. So no matter what, you're voluntarily assuming refugee status to flee something. Now, that may be the best choice, given your circumstance. That could be the best thing to do. But recognize and accept that you're taking on that status as a refugee.
Yeah, and you really can't carry much. Let me tell you, Doug, I went on a camping trip 2 weekends ago.
Yes, I heard about this.
Yes, and I learned a lot.
I stayed home and watched Blu-rays on survival topics, but
nice.
Still.
Well, you know, you absolutely have to practice with what you have. I'm telling you, you know, I don't care how much YouTube you watch. I don't care how many, you know, books you just don't know until you do it. And let me tell you, I'm a big camper, love camping. I mostly car camping. So I've got all the great stuff. But let me tell you, when I only could use what I carried on my back, that thing was 1,000 pounds. My mm-hmm. backpack was 1,000 pounds. And I thought, you know, I mean, not literally, but holy cow. I mean, and we did not do a long walk in. It was a short little walking trip up to where we were camping. I mean, you couldn't really park your car and unload. There was a little bit of a walk. Let me tell you, I realized there was no way. I was not going very far with that backpack.
See, the way I've trained, and it's a little different with live weight and dead weight, but the way that I've built myself up mm-hmm. to doing this is by carrying a 50-pound toddler on my back for long walks. And when I say a long walk, I mean like 8.5, 9 hours at a fair.
Oh, wow.
In a backpack carrier, so the weight's distributed, mm-hmm. but she's back there, and I'm handing her food and stuff over my shoulders, and we just went the whole day, all day.
That's carrying impressive. Like that.
And so I've built myself up, and I've got a certain amount of stamina for it because I've been practicing in other ways, which are fun. Remember when we were talking about fitness and survival?
Yes.
It's more fun to ride a bike and see scenery than to just do stair climbing all day. Mm-hmm. Same sort of theory. Folks, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, with Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. And we're bugging out today. We're heading out. We've decided we don't like that term. But it is, you know, it's a term that's, and you know, it's coined, it's used so often, I guess, just in the prepping world.
Yeah, it has really become a term of art. You can mm-hmm. say that, and people pick up on it, and they know exactly what you mean.
Oh, Doug, I have to tell you real quick. This is awesome. I just remember, just now, as we're sitting here, and I'm staring at you with that surprise look on your face. Yesterday, I was walking through Sam's Club. Love Sam's Club. You know, I'll buy bulk beans and rice, and I get other things there too, my toilet paper and stuff. I guess that's probably too much information. But I was walking down the aisle, and I had my little buggy, and I was pushing it down the aisle, and I heard a guy that was on his phone, and I heard him say something about a bug-out bag. And so I turned my head real quick, and I looked at him, and I caught him dead in the eye, you know, in the eyes, and he kind of looked at me real quick, and then because he was on the phone, and then he kind of turned away from me. He goes, "So how was that, your vacation trip, blah, 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 blah," and, you know, completely changed the subject, hoping that, you know, he was like, "Oh my God, did she just hear me say bug out bag?"
So, you know, if you had whipped out your Ready Radio cape and said, "I'm Amy from Ready Radio, and I can help you with that."
I was, you know, patting my pockets. I was like, "Oh, do I have a business card?" So, but yeah, I mean, you know, it is so funny because it really is out there. But, you know, a lot of people don't talk about it openly. And it's sort of like this big hush-hush,
well,
you know, kind of thing.
That goes back to the whole OPSEC, operational security aspect of this. I mean, if everybody knows you've got the stuff, then you're as likely to get looted as Sam's Club is in the event of a societal breakdown. And a lot of people are worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody wants to be in the position where they're forced to defend their you know, goods and services from other people, and that can get to a real moral juxtaposition of values quickly. So I understand that people are cautious, and that's one of the things that's, you know, really impressive about True Prep, our primary sponsor, along with Kudzu Tactical and iTech, the information technology company that does our webpage and keeps us flowing with all of our various Twitter and Facebook accounts. But True Prep has these meetup groups where you can get to know like-minded people and judgment neutral environment so that you can create connections and make friends. And one of the nice things is with their three stores that they have open, these meetup groups are spread out geographically. So you're getting to know people who are in your area who think the way you do. And then you can, you know, gradually form the connections and friendships that will become important in the event of some kind of a natural or man-made disaster.
Yeah. And the store itself, you know, I know that a lot of people get together, you know, with True Prep being a retail store, it's a great place not only to just go and pick up a couple items that you need or to ask questions, you know, but there's always a group of people that are sitting around and they're chatting and and let me tell you, if those walls could talk, you know, I know a lot of people feel like they're in the comfort zone and they can open up and you know, they'll talk to, you know, not only the staff, but other people I've noticed will kind of congregate and sort of get off on a topic. And sometimes people have a feeling, they're like, you know, I know that this whole emergency preparedness is important, but I feel like a weirdo. You know, I mean, So where is that safe place?
When I was in the store looking at that Condor knife the other day, mm-hmm. this guy came up to me and said, "Is that your Jeep out there with the shortwave setup on it. And I was like, no, that's not mine at all. And this guy from across the room said, that's mine. Why? You got a question? And he says, yeah, I'm having an SWR problem with mine. Next thing you know, the two guys were chatting and they're out there and the dude's fixing his radio so that he gets better reception on his car.
I mean, oh, funny.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, people come together. They don't know each other. Mm-hmm. They just have a common interest. And, you know, that's one of the neatest things about preppers is that they're more than willing to help each other out. I mean, you get this impression that, especially watching the TV and the media, that these are the people who are all for themselves and they're hoarding and they're going to have their stuff and shoot anybody who comes up to the door. When the honest truth is these are people who would give you the shirt off their back.
Yes. Yeah, most of the preppers that I know really are very kind-hearted. And
sometimes too kind-hearted.
Yes, yes. You know, I know I have a bleeding heart, and that's, I know, could definitely be my downfall, is if, you know, an absolute huge catastrophe happened, and I don't think I could turn, you know, little kids away. I know I couldn't turn little kids away, you know?
You know, we had Survivor Jane on a few weeks ago, and I've been following Prepper Talk religiously, hashtag Prepper Talk on Twitter, and I think that it's a fantastic thing. One of the topics was, you know, it's a survival situation, there's no power, everybody's man for themselves sort of deal. And then she listed off five hypothetical groups of people. What would you do if these people approached you and asked for help?
Mm-hmm.
One was, you know, a Vietnam veteran who has lots of supplies and knowledge. And then you had an elderly couple who had lots of knowledge but no ability to really do things. And then you had a young couple who really didn't know what they were doing and didn't have anything with them. And then the last one she mentioned was a single mother with a small child. Again, no skills, nothing to contribute.
Right.
And my first thought was, of all those groups, the one that I would be most likely to help would be the single mother with a child. But one of the comments on the discussion was, I would offer the single mother to take her child with us.
What?
That's what I thought. I was like, you know, you want to talk about what's necessary in a survival situation. Mm-hmm. And we talk about food, water, shelter, and way to defend it, right? I mean, that's kind of our mantra. These are the things that you have to have in a survival situation. But what's really necessary is basic human psychology. If you don't know how people react and act in certain situations, that is a huge downfall in your ability to be properly prepared for an emergency situation. And telling a single mother that you are going to take her child, I mean, my goodness, who in their right mind would come up with that as a feasible option in an emergency? I'm going to steal your kid for your own good.
Right. Well, but it's one of those things too, though, Doug. I mean, you know, you a lot of times you really don't know what you would do unless you're put in that a particular situation. And really, the majority of everything that we talk about every day, I mean, if we're, you know, in every topic, you know, we are just speculating. We don't know. We haven't been there. And the majority of the people out there who are offering advice and writing books, you know, a lot of these people have not been there. They're just speculating. And so, you know, who knows what would happen? I mean, it might be in a situation where a mother with a child might, it might be turned where the mother is trying to give the child, please at least take my child. You know, you never know what the situation would be.
I can see that in certain situations, you know, if there's only so much room on the helicopter scenario,
right,
you know,
like one of the movies.
Yeah. You know, take the kid.
Well, I mean, if you're starving to death, I mean, I'm thinking more of a Grapes of Wrath kind of a situation, you know. And you have a mother who's starving and her child is near death and they won't take her, you know, take them. You know, I mean, I could see maybe something like that. But again, I mean, it's just all imagination and you're just speculating.
Well, the goal in all of the speculation is to help prepare you for the reality of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the training, when people join the military, all the training doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to pull the trigger on another human being, but the training itself is the best indicator of it. And so as we train to get ready for a disaster, whether man-made, natural, whether it's a day-long disaster or a 20-year disaster, it doesn't matter. The mental preparation is the key component, and that part of that mental preparation is not only thinking of scenarios and how you would react and what, you know, the game aspect of it. And I'm talking like political
playing
science,
the what if
gaming.
Game.
Yes, the what if game. You know, that aspect of it is important, but also understanding how people react and how, you know, game theory in political science is very applicable to a survival situation, because it plays on what human nature is. And, you know, is this going to be a one-time encounter? Well, if you're never going to see the person again, you treat them differently than if you're going to have continued, you know, reactions with them over time. And you learn to trust somebody because of the continued reactions. And you have to be more honest and open and fair with somebody who you're going to be dealing with continually than somebody who you won't be. And so, you know, when you're looking at your, you know, human interactions every day, you've got people who, because you, you know, accept that this person is going to be a part of your career or your job path or your life on a daily basis, you treat that person with respect because they deserve it and because you recognize that you're going to be working together for a long period of time. Whereas if it's just a one-time encounter, then sure, you can act, you know, deviously or underhanded with them and not expect real consequences.
Yeah. The, you know, something else also, there's some pretty decent fiction books and TV shows and movies that are out there also that, let me tell you, they're becoming pretty popular. It's a pretty popular topic, but, you know, a lot of these fiction, you know, I've read a couple of the fiction books and, you know, some I've liked, some, you know, not so much. And, you know, there's a TV series that was out for a little while called Jericho. I was watching a little bit of on Netflix. And interesting, it was so far-fetched. I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, that is just so not how it would happen, you know? But when you kind of open up your mind and you kind of, you know, look at these things and you kind of, you know, you're like... So, I don't know. I think you're right. It kind of puts you in that mindset and sort of prepares you that way.
Jericho came on, I believe, September of 2008. I remember when it first aired. Mm-hmm. I remember actually carving out a day to go watch it, make sure that we were home to see the premiere episode. Mm-hmm. I remember they played The Killers as the opening song on the pilot episode. I remember getting my in-laws to watch it, to talk about prepping with them. And we were trying to watch it on their computer, and it kept buffering and playing the same song, I'm Not a Soldier, over and over and over as it kept buffering. I loved that show. I was one of the idiots who sent peanuts to CBS to tell them to put it back on the air. I really liked that show. And I admit that, yes, the idea that the government could, you know, bomb its own people in order to try to foment a revolution and that...
Well, don't tell me what happens. I haven't got that far yet.
Well, that was in the, like, the first episode, Amy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That it was
the government was working on it.
No, not that they were bombing themselves.
Okay.
Oh, golly.
Well, anyway, on that note, you're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We were just talking about Amy's new favorite show, Jericho, and how it impacts the way people prepare. It's one of the things.
You got to throw in a spoiler alert before you spoil the...
When it's
plot.
When it's a 6-year-old TV show,
well,
I think
for
that,
me, I mean, probably not for our listeners. Like, yeah, seen it, heard it. Kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
We can, 6 years ago.
I can tell you how Firefly ends, too, if you
stop
really...
it.
That's from 2002.
Well, you haven't seen American Blackout yet.
No,
you have to go to YouTube and look it up. It's American Blackout, and I think it first aired on Nat Geo. I think it was a Nat Geo show. And it was so realistic. I mean, some of these fiction, you know, they're based on what could possibly happen, but this was so realistic. Loved it. So, I'd be mean to you and tell you what happens at the end, but... I'm going to let you wait and check it out.
Okay.
I'll have to put that on a link on a Ready Radio.
Yeah, that'd be a good link to have.
Yeah.
We'll put that on our website. And, of course, our website is readyradio.net. You can look us up there. We have all of our old shows, a little bit about me and Amy on there. And we have a link to our Twitter feed where you can see what we've been posting and news and events that I think that our listeners would be very interested in. We also have, aside from our website, we have a Facebook page at Ready Radio and our Twitter account at Ready Radio or Ready Radio Net. On Twitter.
There you go.
So any one of those venues is a good way to reach us. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, info@readyradio.net is a great way to send us an email that we can see and hopefully get your questions answered on our next show on the air.
Yeah, love it. And we are very good about going on little bunny trails, so we'll probably circle back around and start talking about bugging out a little bit again. I don't know how we did that, but, you know, we're pretty good at our little bunny trails. There's no telling where we're going to end up.
Speaking of bunny trails, I was reading an article this last week about how, you know, with the rising cost of meat, meat has gone through the roof. I don't know if you've seen that, but beef and chicken and shrimp are just through the roof in prices. Of course, we don't have any inflation, mind you, because the inflation index doesn't consider food or gasoline.
Sure.
I mean, granted that, you know, our food and gas prices are going through the roof, and those are commodities that are imported from overseas and keep their value relative to the dollar at all times, like gold or silver. And so we see gold go up, we see silver go up, we see food go up, we see, you know, oil go up, but there's no inflation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was at the grocery store the other day, and I told the lady who was cashing me out, I said, I'm going to quit my job and become a farmer. I can't afford to come grocery shopping anymore. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think that we all need to be farmers. I mean, that's kind of the Jeffersonian ideal of yeoman farmers that rule this country. And if we were, if everybody was more responsible for growing their own food, if everybody had a victory garden, we'd be in a lot better stead.
Yeah, a couple chickens maybe.
Well, that's where I was going about the rabbit trails, because the article that I was reading is that rabbits are a great way to supplement your meat with very little upkeep, and, you know, just need to harden your heart a little bit.
I was going to say, now, my husband could kill a bunny, and, you know, I couldn't kill a bunny. I couldn't do it. I could, probably because I call them bunnies, and, you know, not the rabbits or hare or whatever. But, yeah, I just couldn't look in their fuzzy little eyes and whack their head off.
We could start calling them short-tailed, long-eared rats.
Sure, yeah.
That might help you.
But they're so cute and fuzzy. I just want to snuggle with them. They're so precious.
You could shave it first, I guess.
Oh, that would
draw it out.
I want to torture the thing before I kill and eat it. No, but, you know, actually, I do know a girl who has, she just purchased a couple rabbits to breed them and eat them. And she said, and I was kind of telling her the same thing. I'm like, you know, I just don't think I could kill them. She goes, man, these things are vicious. And she said, man, they eat their young if you don't get them out there quick enough. And, I mean, look at their red, beady eyes. They just look evil. And I'm like, well, I guess if you kind of look at them like that, then maybe you could kill it and eat it. I mean, I think I could kill a fish and, you know, pretty easily, a chicken probably, you know, anything that's fuzzy and furry. I just, you know, I'm an animal lover. My little dog is a Maltipoo. She's very small. And, oh, those are precious.
But showing Amy pictures of our newest chickens. We're up to quite a flock.
So
we've got over a dozen now.
Oh,
and with the last
ones, chickens can be cute. You know, pretty much anything when they're babies, they can be pretty darn cute. And
you've
precious.
Never seen a baby armadillo, have you?
Well, I said almost. Not everything.
And you know that armadillos carry leprosy too. Just to throw.
What?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Oh,
see,
my
there's
goodness.
Another bunny trail. Go ahead.
Look it up on you or on Wikipedia. Armadillos are very high carriers of leprosy in the U.S. because their body temperature is low. And the way they discovered this is they found they were doing research on leprosy by using armadillos.
Weird.
And then they had went to get some wild armadillos to, you know, foment the research, and they tested them coming in, and they already had leprosy.
What?
And so they started testing armadillos all over the place.
Wait, where is this? Where's the source? Where are you reading this from?
Pull it up on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia, okay.
But there are a high percentage, something like 70% of all the armadillos in the U.S. carry leprosy. Mm-hmm. And there was even an episode of Turtle Man where Turtle Man was out to catch an armadillo.
Wait, what are you watching? What is Turtle Man?
Turtle Man's on Animal Planet.
Okay.
I believe it's on Animal Planet. He is from Kentucky, and he catches pests in homes using natural methods without traps that don't, you know, harm the animals, and then he takes them away. He, you know, he does mainly things like snakes and owls and bats and stuff like that. But he was trying to catch an armadillo in a barn because the armadillo was making holes and the horses could break their legs in the holes. So he found the thing. But even he mentioned that there are leprosy carriers, and he had to wear gloves to catch the armadillo because he didn't want to actually touch the thing.
Really?
Yeah. So when you're out there bugging out, don't kill the armadillos.
Leave
and
the armadillo
eat,
alone.
Eat armadillo because then you'll have bits falling off.
Nice. Oh, that's kind of disgusting. Yeah. That was a great bunny trail we just went off on there. Kind of gross. All right. So let's circle back around again, shall we? This time, let's talk about your bug out location. Or wherever, like if you have a sort of backup idea. So if we decided that let's go to plan B. So we kind of talked a little bit about the bags and really watch the weight, practice with them. You will learn a lot if you throw something on your back and live out of it for one night.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good friend of mine who was he camps all the time, and he backpack camps all the time, laughed at me in front of all my friends with all the stuff he was pulling out of my bag. He's like, "Are you kidding? Why did you bring two decks of cards?" And I'm like, "Well,
one is one is none and two is one, right?"
Right? I'm like, "But I don't know and then I pulled out a can opener. He's like, "What are you doing? Do you realize how heavy this thing is?" And I was thinking I was going to my bug out location. My location didn't have all my stuff, and I was going to need my stuff, so I'm putting in the stuff that I would need. So he's pulling off, you know, these kind of things. And now I did have my whole hammock set up, which I absolutely love. It's the whole set up, and I got this great new little Esbit alcohol stove. Love, love, love it. So I found some things I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. some things I really would use, and then other things I'm like, you know what, this is just weighing me down. So you know, I learned a lot.
I love the hammock for camping. I think that they're great. I like the Grand Trunk. They're half one. The price of Eno. They mm-hmm. seem to be good.
Oh gosh,
quality.
Less. Is there like a third, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really great though. The mm-hmm. only difference is Eno always says that they're up for 450 pounds, mm-hmm. whereas Grand Trunk limits their top weight for most of their hammocks at 250, mm-hmm. and their double hammocks at 450. Mm-hmm. So I mean, but as far as me, I do fine under a 250 weight limit. So it's a great way to save money, and it's a little bit lighter.
Yeah, keeps you off the ground too. I mean, that's one thing I've learned is as I've gotten a little older, I can't sleep on the hard ground. It just doesn't. I can't move when I get up. And the last time I slept on the ground was because my air mattress deflated.
I sit on the floor outside my kids' rooms to read them the story every night, mm-hmm. and then when I'm done reading the chapter, I have to get up off the floor, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, heaven help me.
You need to go sit in their bed. That'd be easier.
Well, they have separate rooms.
Oh,
so
I see.
So I sit there. Mm-hmm. They're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. So I sit in the hallway in between and read. Mm-hmm. So they can both hear me.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, cool.
I should put a chair there.
You should. You know what? I was just thinking. I was like, you know, a little mini couch. Yeah, that would work great. So let's talk about bugging out in a vehicle.
Oh, that makes it so much simpler. I mean, because you don't have to worry so much about weight as you worry about volume.
Mm-hmm. And assuming the roads are clear, you know, and having a backup plan also, because, you know, your little GPS may not be functioning.
That's true.
So having a backup route.
Again, you're not just bugging out in some wild abandon towards an unknown direction. You're going somewhere. Should go to that place repeatedly, mm-hmm. from various different ways, so mm-hmm. that you can find it in the dark without a map, without a compass, without anything, because you know the roads, mm-hmm. backwards and forwards, all the roads that you could possibly take to get there. So, I mean, this should be something that you do repeatedly. The ideal bug out location is your cabin or your campground or where you tend to like to go to get away from it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ideal. And if you don't have a place like that, then that should be one of your priorities to acquire.
Yeah, whether make friends it's, that do.
Whether mm-hmm. it's a friend's house, whether it's an in-law's house, whether it's, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but you need to know how to get there.
You know, and even networking, you know, with people that are like-minded, that was one of the things that you talked about with these meetup groups that are getting together at True Prep. I know that some people are like-minded, and, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have the money to just go out and buy a weekend home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just network together, and I know that there have been, you know, a couple people who have pulled together and have established like a meetup place.
Well, you know, you don't have to go and buy a fancy cabin to have a place to go to. You can go and buy yourself 5 acres mm-hmm. out in the middle of nowhere. As long as it has road access, you know, you can get 5 acres for $3,000-$4,000.
Yeah, and, you know, a little pull-behind trailers are great, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I want to get is I would love to have a little pull-behind trailer, and one of the things I'm working at home are individual boxes that I know are my grab and go boxes.
Once you have a location, you can start to stage things mm-hmm. there too. Yep. So then you're really only worried about going. You're not worried about sustaining. Folks, we're coming up on another commercial break. Hang around. When we get back, we're going to have True Prep's product of the week and a little bit more about bugging out. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you stuck around. You're listening to Ready Radio, Doug and Amy, and we're talking about bugging out, and we were just talking about bugging out in a vehicle. And, Doug, one of the other things I was really thinking about is it's about time for us to get a new car. I have a daughter who's of driving age, and she wants my car. She's learning how to drive on my car. And my husband, he wants a big old diesel truck.
Kodiak 4500 for the win. I mean, you could get that thing, and you can actually haul an entire semi-trailer with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Starts about 80 grand.
I hope he's not listening.
It gets about 3 miles to the gallon.
Oh, geez. No.
You have to use a stepladder to get up into it.
Could you see me driving that around Atlanta?
Seats about nine with just two rows of seating.
Good heavens. I'll have to pull that up and get a visual on it. That thing sounds like a beast.
I found one on Craigslist a while back, and I jokingly suggested to my wife that we get it, and she was all over it. She's like, oh, that's awesome. Look at that. Look at the back hookup. You could haul something huge with that. I was like, yeah, you could haul a semi-trailer for a short distance. That's what it's kind of made for.
Oh, my gosh.
But it has a giant back seat. I mean, it is massive. I mean, it is just a little bit smaller than a semi-truck. And if you think about, you know, a Chevy 1500, and then you've got the 2500, which is a heavy grade, and then you've got the 3500, which is huge. This is a 4500. It's the start of the commercial vehicle size things, and it was very impressive.
That is impressive. Yeah, I don't think that's quite the direction I'm heading, but not for me so much.
No, you want something like a Jeep with four-wheel drive lifted.
I would love to have a Jeep. Yeah, I would love to have a Jeep. I think it'd be awesome.
But everyone needs a money pit. I mean, everyone does, really. I hang out over there at True Prep, and Jimmy is over at the Marietta store, and he's got this fantastic Jeep.
Yes.
And I know the owner over there, Joey, has a Jeep too, and they both just pour time and effort into their Jeeps to keep them
They're like
running.
Barbies. I mean, first of all, you can dress them up like crazy.
Like Barbies.
You know?
Yeah.
They've got all fun, you know, great little skirts and stuff you can put on them. I mean, it's awesome. But yeah, you know, I'm kind of leaning a little towards he might be right, and he drives a company car, and so I'm thinking, well, if we get a truck, yeah, I'd end up driving it, but maybe we could just kind of switch off. But I love the idea that we could haul things, and I'm thinking, you know, of course, you know, the little pull behind pop up camper or a trailer. I was thinking, you know, one of the things I'd like to work on is if I could get a trailer and back it into my garage and keep it there and sort of practice loading it with, you know, let's say we had 15 minutes to head out. And within those 15 minutes, you know exactly what you have to grab. And here's the thing, too. We talked, you know, one of our previous shows, we talked a little bit about kind of spring cleaning and knowing where your things are, because if you can't put your hands on it and you can't find, you know, an item, you know, it's going to be worthless. And if you're in a time crunch and it's time to pick up and head out, and I know you've done this before, if you have different things, and I've kind of thought about this with my books, because I have a lot of great reference guides and things like that, if Google were down, and so I'm kind of working on some different size boxes that are stackable that I could, you know, everybody go to each room, grab a box, load it up, and let's head out. So, you know, as long as though, if you're heading out and you do have a vehicle, and I guess kind of depending on your family size, depending on your vehicle size, you can kind of figure out what you can take and what you have to leave behind.
Right. And, you know, this is all going to play into whether you're able to use the vehicle or whether you're on foot. And that takes a lot of the calculations are about weight on foot versus volume in a vehicle.
Yes.
Because, you know, fluffy big things take up space in a vehicle and you don't have unlimited amount of space. Whereas heavy things are usually not as big of a concern, particularly if you have a vehicle that's made for hauling things, you know, like a truck. You know, you can get to the point where your, you know, Toyota Yaris is so laden down that the wheels are rubbing against a wheel well, and then you're kind of in trouble. But generally, you know, your trunk space is the more limiting factor than the weight of it. But that kind of brings us around to thinking about what are smaller items that can fill multiple roles.
Yes.
And one of the things that I think is really interesting that Leatherman has come out with is this thing called the OHT, or one hand tool. Most Leathermans, I think everyone's familiar with a Leatherman. You know, it's kind of got like a butterfly knife. You peel it back and then the pliers stick out the front and you can use them. Some of them are assisted, so you can do it one handed, and some of them you have to, you know, pull it open every time.
Yes.
What this thing is it's the pliers slide into the handles, and then when the pliers are forced forward with a motion with you can do with just one hand, it clicks into place and then the handles open and you can use the pliers. All of the tools are on the outside of the handles. There's no swinging things around to pinch the inside of your hand. And it's a really neat product. And when True Prep approached me and said that they would like to have this spotlighted, I thought, you know, well, let me see one. So I got my hands on one of them and it's a brand new thing. They just got them in and it is really an interesting idea to be able to get at your pliers if you only have one hand available. Because what if you're doing something important with the other hand, like, you know, holding on for dear life.
Sure, or bleeding to death.
Or bleeding to death, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that could mean that you wouldn't have two hands to be able to operate a pair of pliers. And this fills that niche. And I think that it's a perfect example of what we're looking for in the True Prep product of the week.
All right. Yeah, so we have our OHT Leatherman for the product of the week for True Prep.
And it's a great addition to your bug out bag, your bug in bag, your get home bag, your whatever you want to call it bag.
Stay home bag.
Stay home bag, your happy go lucky bag.
Yeah, right, yes. Yes, exactly. And you can do so many things with this tool. So, excellent product of the week.
It really is. And, you know, as we're looking ahead at future shows, we really would like to get some more feedback from people. So if you've got a moment, go ahead to our website, go to readyradio.net and shoot us an email, info@readyradio.net, and tell us what would you like to hear about on Ready Radio. I mean, our sponsors have been very generous. You know, it's great that we have the technical support from iTech Atlanta. I think that they're a fantastic group of people and doing wonderful things for us. Let's show them, you know, that people are out there who are interested in the technology side, who look at our webpage and say, you know, this is an interesting concept, and we're really behind Ready Radio. Shoot an email, let them know that, you know, we're behind them.
Yeah, and questions, you know, too. So, you know, if you hear something on today's broadcast, or maybe if you go to our website, readyradio.net, and listen to one of our previous broadcasts, if you have any questions about anything, we're always happy to hear from you, and we'll be happy to even, you know, just shoot you an email back, or we can answer you
on the air. Yeah, that's one of the things that we really enjoy doing. I know that we've had questions in the past about generators. We've had questions about, you know, different types of water filtration products and even questions sometimes that don't make the air, like, what can I do to get Ready Radio on a station near me? I mean, we had somebody from Utah once ask us, what stations are you carried on out here? And we don't have any affiliates in Utah yet, but we instructed the guy, you know, to contact your favorite station. Tell the station manager that they can contact Ready Radio at info@readyradio.net, and we'll be happy to talk to them about how our syndication rights are and get us on the air in a place near you. So, I mean, there's lots of different things that we can do if we just know what you're looking for through the website.
That's right. You know, Doug, because I love just chit-chatting with you directly, you know, across microphone to microphone. But yeah, you know, once we mix it up with our listeners, I think, you know, makes it even more fun. So, Doug, are you going to be posting your bug out location on the website?
No.
Oh, okay. just thought I'd ask.
I have no
little
bug
offset kind of thing.
I have no bug out location, and guns are icky too. No,
guns are bad.
The thing is, you know, everybody has their own plan, and in the end, it's a very personal thing. I remember. On Facebook, I once tagged a Chinese restaurant in Cartersville as super secret bug out location. So every time I go there, I check into my bug out location, and my friends on Facebook, not the public site, but my personal Facebook page,
right.
They all see me checking into my bug out location and get a laugh out of that. But yeah, there is a certain aspect that when you're trying to get away from it all, and I've never had the reason to use my bug out location for an emergency, but I sure have had a reason to want to just get away from things.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
There are times when it's worth it on a Friday after a long work week to grab the kids and say, we're going, and you know, hey, I'm going to my place. Anybody want to come? We can load magazines and complain about the week and leave the people who've annoyed us behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great cathartic thing to do and to have a place to go to. And I think everybody needs that, especially in the modern society we live in, where there's such crush and bustle all the time. You have to have a place where you can get away from the technology, get away from the constant emails and the demands of your job, and just say, I need to rest.
Yeah, there really is peace. You can really find peace out away from all the electronics and the craziness. And it's almost like peaceful practice. You know, when you get out there, you kind of sort of get an idea of what things would be like when, you know, if everything were to just shut down. But, you know, and here's the other thing, Doug, I was thinking that, you know, a lot of people that I know, as far as, you know, I don't know if I necessarily like the word preppers, but, you know, people who are into emergency preparedness, they, you know, a lot of times keep it to themselves and they're very hush hush.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, you know, obviously you don't want your whole neighborhood to know so they don't come raid everything that you have. But when do you, you know, open up?
Well, you open up when you have somebody you trust.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
And it's important to have those people that you trust because you can't go at it alone.
No. No man is an island. I think it was Aristotle who said that a man who can be completely by themselves is either a god or a beast. And I've learned I'm neither. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to have people who are on your side, who you trust, and who support you. And that's really what Ready Radio is about. It's about bringing awareness, helping people connect, and doing more through that. Folks, you've been listening to us here on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town. We appreciate that you've been here for this last hour. We'll be back next week with another exciting topic right here on Ready Radio.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town.